It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. Executives at major retailers like Walmart, like Walgreens and Target, are voicing concerns about the escalation of retail theft, estimated by the industry's largest trade association as a nearly $100 billion problem. Call in with your questions about retail theft. Share your experiences working at a Wisconsin store, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Adrian Beck is an emeritus professor in the Department of Criminology at the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom. He's an advisor to a Belgian firm that researches retail theft. Adrian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, good morning. Yes, it's great to be with you.
Good morning. Well, let's start our conversation hearing from the biggest retailer in the world. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon recently told CNBC about his concerns regarding retail theft.
Theft is an issue. It's higher than what it's historically been. And we've got safety measures, security measures that we put in place by store location. I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation. And that's normally how we approach it.
Okay, so what do you hear in McMillon's analysis of the problem?
Well, obviously, you know, retail theft is not a new issue. It's been around ever since, you know, stores were first opened, people coming in and trying to get product for free. So it's not new. It's a question of whether it's getting worse or not. And, you know, we've heard it from a number of retailers that they think that the problem is getting worse more recently. And part of that could be related to, you know, the fact that we are going through, in many countries, a cost of living crisis. You know, things are really tough for a lot of families out there. And that could, in some respect, be driving people towards being more likely to steal from stores. But it can be difficult for retailers to fully understand what amount of their loss is actually due to external theft versus, for instance, internal theft, or indeed just mistakes they make within their own organization. So it's often not as clear cut, perhaps, as, you know, some people might think.
Something else I hear in McMillon's words there is leaning into police to be a partner with Walmart in, leading to an arrest, something on your record. Should shoplifting be criminalized and prosecuted? Does that deter retail theft?
Well, it's already criminalized, of course. You know, it has been for an awful long time. I mean, to steal things is a crime. And if we, you know, often we use very strange language around this, don't we? We call it shoplifting often, which is a very strange term for basically stealing things. So it has been a criminal offense for a long time. I think the issue for some people is that in certain states in America, for instance, the amount that you steal can have an impact upon whether you're prosecuted or not. There are some of these limits. So, for instance, if it's below a certain amount, then you're not likely to get prosecuted. And that's a concern to some retailers. So, you know, it is a crime. The question, of course, is to what extent is it a police priority to deal with this? You know, there is an argument by some people, of course, that, you know, that retailers have to take more responsibility. After all, they are, you know, often, you know, can be argued that they're making it very easy for people to steal from their stores. And so perhaps they have to take some responsibility for the way that they are marketing and displaying and protecting their own products. A bit like there's an expectation that you'll protect your own house, isn't there? That you'll lock the doors and windows and, you know, and perhaps employ security. So, you know, I think there's a degree to which the police will say, is this a priority for us? And if it is, to what extent are the people that we're protecting taking responsibility for something that may be partly due to the way that they're operating their businesses?
What about the transition and the change to self-checkout? The overwhelming number of self-checkouts now, is the expanded use of them at brick-and-mortar stores perhaps a cause for more retail theft?
Yeah, I think there's certainly growing evidence around this now. I mean, I've carried out studies over 10 years now around self-checkout. And, you know, there's no question that I think self-checkout leads to more retail loss. You know, I think for two reasons. One, you know, you are providing more opportunities for people to potentially abuse these systems. And secondly, you're also expecting a lot from customers, which is, you know, we're now expecting you to scan all these things accurately, despite not providing you with any training. You know, I think there's two elements to this. One is losses which are driven by self-checkout through error, people just making mistakes. And secondly, they undoubtedly do make it easier for some people to decide to take product without paying for them. So I think they certainly, in certain parts of retail, particularly in grocery, where it's most used, then there's no question, I think, that there's a link between growing losses and the use of self-checkout.
But you're also using less workforce, less people working checkout lanes. Does that balance out at all?
Well, that's right. Yes, I mean this is a, you know, a cost versus expenditure, an income, you know, question that retailers have, which is that there's no question that the main reason why retailers introduce self-checkout is they want to save labor costs. There's no other, you know, that's the main driver for why retailers brought this in the first place. And so we have seen in grocery in particular, then they can make dramatic savings. So it's just a question of balancing it out, is do you save more from the labor that you know, expenditure compared with the extra amount you're losing through malicious and non-malicious loss. And that's an equation that retailers have to play out within their own organizations. But I think what we're finding is that over time, the amount of loss is growing with self-checkout. And so that equation needs to be reevaluated on a regular basis by retailers, I think.
Talking about retail theft with Emeritus Professor Adrian Beck, works in criminology at the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in a call, Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm hearing the guest correctly, and maybe I'm mishearing it, but it sounds like victim blaming here, that the store is responsible in any way for someone coming in and stealing their product. And then the solution is, let's take private security to be able to, I guess, what, strong arm customers or who maybe not be trained correctly. Is that what I'm hearing part of the solution is, that the recommendation is of your guest?
Steve, thanks. Adrian.
Well, you know, I think retailers are not blameless. I'm not blaming for everything, obviously, but I mean, you know, if you developed a business model whereby you make it incredibly easy for people to come in and potentially steal from them, then you have a degree of responsibility to make sure that you're taking some responsibility for that protection and not simply going back onto the public purse and saying, I expect the police now to protect my model of selling, where I want to make all the profit, but not pay for any of the consequences of that model. So I think we, you know, retailers have to take some responsibility for the way that they design and the business decisions they've made, which they're doing obviously to make a profit. And so they have to, you know, evaluate that as part of their business model. And then in terms of strong arming, well, you know, it's obviously customers have a choice about which shops they shop in. And if, you know, if they can obviously vote with their feet. If they don't like retailers that are exclusively self-checkout, then they can decide to go elsewhere, I suppose. But so I'm not sure I fully understand the strong-arming element of the argument, Steve, that you're making.
Can you go and talk a little bit further about the effects of inflation? I mean, this correlation between record high 40-year inflation that not only the U.S., but the world is feeling, and what that relationship is like with retail theft.
Yeah, I think it's not inflation per se. It's the impact of inflation on the cost of living, I think, that we need to fully understand here. And over the years, you know, we've seen a number of economic cycles, haven't we? From, you know, we can chart them back to the 1950s. And people have tried to make a relationship between economic cycles and levels of crime. And it's proven really quite difficult to do, partly because there's been a lack of data. It's very hard to measure some of these things accurately to understand whether there's a correlation between the economy and crime. But what we are seeing, I think, which is, you know, this is the highest inflation we've probably seen in 30 or 40 years in some countries. It's not something we've really had to think about for an awful long time. And now we are, and we've seen prices rising dramatically. And, you know, I think inevitably that impact on the cost of living is profound. And there's certainly a proportion of society that are undoubtedly now struggling. I mean, in the UK, we call them the precariat. They're the people living in a very precarious situation where they're often living, you know, from day to day and paycheck to paycheck. And that can put tremendous pressure on those families. And sometimes they can be driven to, you know, perhaps committing crime that they probably wouldn't have done, but are, you know, really doing it out of desperation. And so we're seeing this around grocery in particular, where, you know, people are perhaps being driven to steal because of the pressure from the cost of living and, you know, driven by inflation that is, you know, putting them in a situation where probably they wouldn't want to be, but it could be a state of desperation. And so, you know, my argument and my point to retailers have been that, you know, this is really quite a difficult time for a lot of people, and they need to be aware of this in terms of how they think about protecting their stores, but also understanding the impact it's having on certain parts of populations.
Do you know whether retailers pass on the costs of this theft, this shrinkage? Does that come into what the customers pay on for these products?
Inevitably. I mean, somebody has to pay the price, and that will be reflected basically in the, you know, in the costs that retailers charge their consumers, which is it's factored into, you know, the margin that they need to sell those products in their stores. And so, you know, the ultimate people who pay for loss are the customers themselves, because it is reflected in the prices that retailers have to charge in order to cover their costs and make a profit.
Adrian Beck with us, advisor to the ECR Retail Loss Group, founded the Department of Criminology at the University of Leicester. Call in with your questions about shoplifting. Share what you've noticed at Wisconsin businesses, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn why retailers lock up items like cologne and baby formula, teeth whitening strips, and other efforts to prevent shoplifting that company executives say is on the rise. Call in with your questions about retail crime, what you notice as a shopper or as a store employee. Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Adrian Beck is an emeritus professor of criminology at the University of Leicester and stays with us. Let's bring on another call. Amy is here from Galesville. Amy, what would you like to bring up?
Good morning. I agree with the previous caller, and I'm finding just the framing of this conversation problematic. If you were to put it from the point of a mom and pop shop, I think we could have more sympathy, but Walmart, people stealing from Walmart, they're doing fine. Their profits are fine. Their CEO is fine. So if people are stealing food, that's a problem that we need to deal with in this country in other ways, not by beefing up security so people can't eat on a regular basis. So I think part of what I'd like to know then is, do we have numbers or, you know, information on what is being stolen?
Amy, thank you. Adrian, numbers on what is being stolen?
It's very difficult to get these numbers. You know, and so, you know, when I've looked at certainly in self-checkout, what you find is it's broad range of products tend to get non-scanned or mis-scanned by customers. It covers a whole gamut of different types of things, which often suggests it's more error than theft, actually. But retailers, you know, lose, you know, you mentioned at the beginning, they claim it's $100 billion a year. It's very difficult to know of that $100 billion a year, what proportion is due to theft internally or externally, or indeed due to errors that the organization has made themselves. They're not very good at actually being able to understand what elements of their loss is due to any particular cause. And so, you know, to Amy's point, you know, it'd be a whole raft of things depending on the type of retailer and what they're selling. And you know, we are living through a very difficult cost of living crisis. And I've spoken to some retailers who are hugely sympathetic to some of the people that they're catching who are stealing, who, you know, are in very vulnerable situations and, you know, very desperate situations. It's a very difficult situation for all concerned, isn't it, in terms of do you simply then just condone people who want to steal through need, or how do you then define what is need? Is it relative need, absolute need? And that can be a very difficult decision for communities and indeed retailers to begin to decide what to do about this issue.
You've also studied retail theft about looking at security camera technology and what has changed there. What do you notice with security cameras?
Yeah, there's been a huge investment in retail around, you know, whole swathes of ways in which they try and stop people or stop losses happening within their organizations, you know, including things like technologies, as you mentioned, like video, but also tagging and so on. And there's been a huge expansion in the use of video technologies, and particularly due to, you know, developments around what is known as digital technologies, which means you can digitize images and therefore do a lot more with it. And so you'll see, I think, increasingly a lot of retail stores in America, but in other countries as well, a growing use of video for a number of different reasons. Some of it is very passive, it's simply just watching, but others are becoming more active. So, for instance, if people are using self-checkout, these technologies can increasingly begin to try and identify when perhaps you haven't scanned an item by accident or on purpose, and the system can begin to identify that behavior, and either it can either bring it to the attention of a member of staff, or in some circumstances, the system can say to the shopper, hey, you know what? It looks like you didn't scan that last item. Do you want to have another go? And so there's this sort of growth of what are known as video analytics, trying to begin to identify behaviours that can either be corrected or brought to the attention of people who might want you to not do that behaviour.
Last year, Home Depot started allowing stores to disable power tools using Bluetooth technology until that they're purchased. Does Bluetooth locking prevent theft? What do you see there?
Well, the technology there is really about, it's about basically using something, it can be Bluetooth, but other technologies available, which basically makes it a dumb device until there's some sort of code which is entered to say this product will now work. So it only works on obviously electronic objects. And so it's a bit like, you know, the phone won't work unless you can prove you've paid for it. So it's really, you know, it's basically what we call benefit denial. In other words, there's no point in stealing it because it won't work until you paid for it. And so it's just another form of crime prevention, which is basically making it a dumb brick unless you can prove you've paid for it. So it's an interesting technology, but it requires a lot of infrastructure in place, a lot of work with the manufacturers to make sure that they've embedded this sort of system within to their electronics of any given product. But it's certainly an interesting development around, you know, simply taking away the point of stealing something if it doesn't work.
Talking about retail theft with expert Adrian Beck from the University of Leicester, let's go to Joe in Lake Halley. Joe, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, go ahead.
I had a couple of points. I've read some articles that have attorneys basically recommending not using self-checkout because there's been a number of people that were, you know, basically innocent of, or not intending to steal anything, or even falsely accused of stealing stuff. And as a side note, I've noted, at least at like our local Walmart, that oftentimes there's actually less of a line at the old-fashioned checkouts.
Joe, thank you for the call. Joe, and I know it was a little bit hard to hear, but attorneys telling people not to use self-checkouts because they've seen people falsely accused, Adrian.
Yes, I've heard this a number of occasions now in America. I haven't seen any cases in any other country in terms of people being falsely accused. I think what the typical situation I find is that retailers really struggle to make any form of prosecution because it can be very difficult to prove intent. You know, if I have scanned five items and don't scan one item, the retailer's really got to show that I didn't mean to do that, particularly when they've made me use that technology. So, you know, I've heard these stories of, you know, the threat of being prosecuted by SCR, but from my work in SCR over the many, many years, I haven't seen very many cases of this at all. In fact, it's much more the other way, really, which is, it's, you know, retailers shy away from trying to prosecute because it can be incredibly difficult to get, you know, pretty strong evidence to say that the intent was there to do it. And then in terms of speed, absolutely. I mean, all the research shows that people using self-checkout think they're faster than somebody at a checkout, a trained member of staff, and they're definitely not. But it's that perception, isn't it, of actually doing it. You feel like you're doing something when you're at a self-checkout, so you think you're being quicker. But a trained member of staff can scan far more items than most people can do because they simply don't do it very often, whereas trained staff are doing it all the time. So it can be. You know, you think you're saving time, but you're not. But, a lot of retailers increasingly are pushing customers to the point where there's really no option but to use self-checkout. And that can cause a lot of frustration, a lot of anxiety and a lot of angst and issues for members of staff as well who have responsibility for looking after these machines. You know, I did a recent survey of 6,000 members of staff who work at self-checkout looking after these machines. And there were worrying levels of violence and verbal abuse associated with that, where customers were getting very frustrated by these machines and often taking it out on the staff who have got responsibility for looking after them. So that's another issue I think retailers have got to think about, is how well that they're, you know, they're staffing these systems to make sure that it doesn't increase customer frustration and annoyance.
Adrian, thank you for joining us and sharing your research.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Adrian Beck is an emeritus professor in the Department of Criminology at the University of Leicester. He's an advisor to a Belgium company that researches retail theft. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.